Wembley kind of sucks. We had to go there anyway. I'm hearing that song everywhere, by the way. I don't know if you've seen it, JJ Bull's unofficial Scotland anthem.
I haven't seen
Oh,
it.
it's outstanding. I'll have to remember to get you to listen to that after the pod, and then you can have it stuck in your head for a week like I have. Yeah, episode 362 of the Mighty Lights podcast. I'm Jack, as always, John back here, see.
Afternoon.
I'm not angry, I'm just disappointed.
All right, Mom, calm down.
Yeah.
It's I can't say it's not bitterly disappointing. But I think the one thing is that with that, I can certainly rationalize that defeat a lot more than I can the others. I would say certainly in the second half, I think I saw a lot more from them than I have in certainly the last two visits to Wembley.
Yeah, there was at least there was something of a fight back. I just thought of to be honest, it's two very separate things. The first half, I just thought we were really poor. And even despite that, we had the best chance of the entire game. And I really, this is not digging him out. It's just true. A better ball striker in that position probably scores. It's a really nice bit of football, burgling to Calvert-Lewin, who plays it round corner, and Aronson is just away. I only realised when I saw back a TV clip of it. It is almost identical to Adam Armstrong's chance in the playoff final. And that's the difference between. I mean, I was hoping to see what we saw against Man United at Elland Road, because that one on his weak foot, he struck lovely straight across the goal, really nice finish. And this one, it's not like an awful finish. It's just not a very good one. It's too close to Sanchez, who admittedly it's a good serve. But you do just keep I just keep thinking back going, oh, if we score that, it's such a different game.
I think sort of the least you want from that is to get the keeper diving across for that. If I had more faith in him, I'd maybe want him to go for power at the near post, but again, that's not his ball striking really. So it was frustrating. But at that point you start thinking, oh, no, there'll be more chances.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I mean,
Never the rest of the half.
in the game as a whole, there wasn't many more, but there was only one proper chance in the rest of the half. Well, there was two. They hit the post with what I thought was quite a difficult chance. I think that was more really unlucky, good effort. But then Pascal Strauch, who has been really good the last month, and I'm really hoping gets a new contract and all of that stuff. Win challenges for a header, it comes back to him, he's dealt with the danger, and he just seems to step a yard away from the ball and forget he's got it for a second and gives away possession. Chelsea break down the right, cross for Enzo Fernandez. It looked like James Justin maybe could have done a little bit better in the middle, but they're all at sea because they're just not expecting Vieira. And it's a good header. Perry hasn't got any chance with it. And yeah, then there really wasn't any chances for the rest of the half either, for either team. It was such a poor way to give away a goal. You play against a £1 billion squad. You're hoping they do something good to beat you rather than you do something to yourself.
I don't think it's unfair to say that I think the occasion got to them at the start, and I think once they'd made a few mistakes, they were quite panicky in possession. And we all I think we all saw it fairly early on that, oh, we need another body in midfield here, because
Yeah,
there was just nothing between, like, the amount of time Strauch had it, and there was just no midfield option available.
I both in and out of possession. We looked a man short right through. I didn't think for a second he was going to do this, but like probably, I'm not criticizing Farke for starting in that shape because I think everyone would have. I really do think there's an argument for. I mean, we were saying it in the ground at the time, so it's not hindsight. we're 15 minutes in saying we probably need to go to a back four here and push an extra man into midfield.
Yeah.
I was even in my head going, if you don't want to make the subs, you might have to play Bogle as like the outside centre mid. Which wouldn't have been ideal, but...
Yeah, unless you kind of go to like the 4-3-3 and sort of Aronson drops in and Bogle is now your right attacking midfielder. But like it'd have been a difficult one to do in the game. But yeah, as you said, given how we'd been playing, the only change we talked about was does Justin start or Roden?
Yeah.
He went with Justin, who you can have the argument and it was the discussion that people had about pretty much the same as what you said about Perry starting. Do you think he's the best goalkeeper? And in this case, do you think he's the best option to start at centre back? I mean, in terms of ability, I don't think he is, but I think he'd earn his place.
Yeah,
there with his form.
Yeah, did we both say we would pick Rodon if it was up to us?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. But we were sort of fine with it either way. As the starting, I'm not going to get mad at the starting formation. Other than maybe a player difference, I would have picked the same thing. And Tvark, to his credit, he did change it at halftime. Justin went off and Beal went off. On came Stack, and my brain has gone. Rodon. So there we go. That's what I was saying. So yeah, which I think was a decent way of doing it. One, Stack really did make a difference. I think the shape made a difference having an extra man in midfield, but I also thought Stack was just good. And if you're going to play a back four, I like Beal, but I'm yet to be convinced of him in a back four.
Yeah, I think at this point, and I think the other thing you get out of Rodon is he's one who is a lot more willing to drive kind of out of defence and carry it a bit further. Whereas I think Strout probably has the ability to do it more, but whether it's a confidence thing, I don't know. But Joe Rodon at times is just willing to see that thing where he looks up, no one's there, he'll slap his arms on his side and just go.
Yeah, he did do it two or three times, didn't he?
Yeah. You get the recovery pace as well.
Yeah.
With him.
Which, you know, when you're playing the... Because we still weren't massively high, but we were in a higher line in the second half, so...
Yeah. So I think the subs made sense. I mean, I think we were all quite surprised that Stack was fit enough to come on at half-time.
Yeah, I wonder if he may have had the old give injection instruction on Football Manager.
Yeah, I won't be shocked by that, because I think if we'd have got an equaliser and gone to extra time, I think he might have come off again.
Possible.
But, you know, he both him being in midfield and the change in shape did allow us to compete a lot more. You know, given that we've not played a lot of 4-3-3 for a while, it was quite nice to see that switch, and again, Farke just go, no, this is what needs to happen.
Yeah. It was weird, because obviously we were saying it, but obviously at halftime, you end up talking to people just during the half, the people around you. It was what every single person was saying. Going, we have to go for this here. I mean, the Stack sub very nearly paid off. I don't know how early it was, but almost immediately in the second half, he had a really good effort from the edge of the box. Struck it brilliantly. It's quite close to Sanchez, but it's gone that quick that I think this is a really good serve. And it's sort of a little bit unlucky from a Leeds perspective that we ran into the good version of Robert Sanchez, because he is a proper can-go-either-way goalkeeper. And he was good today. And just to get it out of the way, the only other real chance we had after that was Calvert-Lewin's header, which was basically straight at him.
Yeah, there was. I think you would certainly say we did a much better job retaining possession, and the ball was in their half a lot more. I think the only real scare was it about 5 minutes in when there's the ball in behind?
Yeah, or the one where they actually did kind of rip us to shreds.
Yeah, where it's somehow they don't actually get the shot away, do they? In the
no,
end,
no, it's
because
it,
I think they
eventually get to
Joao
Pedro.
Yeah, defenders just keep appearing out of nowhere to dive in, not actually make a tackle, and somehow in the end we get it clear, because it's one of those where you look and think at one point there's like both Bogle and Strouk have gone in for challenges and just got nowhere near it, and you're thinking, well, that's two.
Yeah, you see, if we don't give away the stupid goal, if that move would have resulted in a goal and they beat us 1-0, I'd have felt a lot better about it, because that bit of play, they did just great interchange of passes, great movement, quality players doing really good things, and they were too good for us for that minute. And if it had scored that, I'd have gone, ah, it was a really good goal. It's a shame that it was one of ours. But in the end, like by the end of the game, I think I saw a thing that like Chelsea basically had like one shot after they scored.
Yeah.
You know, a shot of their, like, you know, I think the XG was like 0.3 for them and about 1 for us. But it did feel like they were miles the better side first half. And even though we did get on top of it in the second half, they sort of kept us at arm's length. And like the one time that we really did get on top, Robert Sanchez magically got injured. And suddenly there was time for a team talk and a reshuffle. But we've talked about that on about 8 occasions so far this season, because that's how common it is against us. Just fix the rule, please.
Yeah, it's at that point now where, I think Farker was the same. Like, I've spoken about this enough. I'm not going to talk about this now because it sounds like I'm making excuses. You're all aware of how I feel.
Yeah.
I think we did have a little bit of comedy out of it, of Ethan Ampadu just inviting himself into the Chelsea group, saying hello to Callum McFarlane, being told to piss off elsewhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, like it's obviously it's maddening. But to be fair, from about 3 minutes in, anytime you challenge them, they were making an absolute meal out of it.
Yeah, especially on our attacking set pieces.
Yeah, every ball that went in.
If you jumped for a header with them, they just went down and got a free kick. But we also, you know, is it a bit naive that we kept falling for it? Like, that's the other side of it. I think overall it was just an even game, and they took a chance and we didn't.
Yeah, I think as well, like, obviously, they did quite a good job, as you say, keeping his arms length. I do think our balls into the box were generally ineffective. I think we spoke about it on the way home. I think Goodmanson had a few that ended up curling out of the penalty area.
Yeah, they weren't the easiest crosses in the world, but like they ended up 20 yards from goal.
Yeah, and I think even Stack's corners weren't up to much either.
No, I think he hit the first man at least 3 times, I think.
Yeah.
And we only had about 5 corners, it felt like.
Yeah, so even kind of in those situations, we never really troubled. There was nothing really for Roden or Strouk to get on the end of. Or obviously, there's the one cross that Calvert-Lewin is able to head at goal. But you just kind of... I think, one, it's disappointing in as much as you... Like, I just, in my head, just gone, no, it'll come, it'll be fine, it'll sort itself, and it just doesn't. And you just sat there going, oh, well, that's the end of the FA Cup then, yeah.
The thing that disappointed me is you always think, we're going to get one chance. If you're 1-0 down in a game like this, you always get one chance in the last 10 minutes, and we didn't really. Like, it
didn't help, and obviously we'll probably discuss this a little bit later on as well, but obviously Goodmanson gets injured.
Yeah.
And I think he should probably just go off, because I think one of the things that you're sort of aware of people's positions, but I think when you're playing football at that sort of speed, you you may not, and especially in a bit of a desperation mode, you're probably not looking up thinking, oh, that's Gabby, I'll turn and play it somewhere else. Like, I think you get your head up, you see someone there and go, right, I'll play him and make a move.
There was one particular layoff to him where he just had to hack the ball because it was the best he could do.
So yeah, and because I think obviously later on we bring on Mecha, comes on up top, Nonto comes on to play on the right. Mecha comes on to the, he plays sort of left.
Yeah, left-ish.
The half space. And then in the last few, 5 minutes left, Sean Longstaff comes on. Which I thought was a slightly odd one with Longstaff, purely because I know you get a lot of work out of him and he can get up and down. For me, I was sort of looking at Dan James and just going, look, if in doubt, just give it to Dan James on the right hand side and see if he can.
Yeah.
Like, because at that stage of a game, if you can get it to him, he should be able to do Kukureha for pace and hopefully get a half decent cross in.
And if he gets four chances to cross, maybe one of them will be good.
Yeah.
That's who I would have brought on as well. I think he literally went, I think we're going to get something off a set piece, if anything, so he brought on the big lad. I think that's what, which is fair enough. I think I would have gone for James, but the weird thing was with bringing on Longstaff in that situation, like I think I would have argued for James or Peru before him in that situation.
Yeah,
because again, even Peru, who I don't think would have made any difference, if a ball falls to him, even though Sean Longstaff scored a brilliant goal, has scored a couple of good goals, even and Peru hasn't been up to much, I still think you've got 5 minutes left. If you want the chance falling to one of them, you'd rather it was Peru.
Yeah. But at that point in the game, it's not something I'm going to get mad at Fart for. I think generally speaking, I thought he made the right changes. Made the tactical change when he needed to. And now I'm just sad.
Yeah. So we still haven't scored at Wembley since 1992.
In a technicality as well. So, you know, obviously the record breakers that we are, four Wembley or four straight Wembley appearances without a goal. And the only reasons that isn't five is because one year, you know, the other year it was still being built.
Yeah. Yeah, it is morally five.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not ideal. It's just one of them things. But hopefully, because I agree with I think we were a little bit overawed by it at the team. And the only way to get past that is to get there more.
Never again.
Nah, next year's playoff final, mate.
Yeah, you know what? If we get to the playoff finals, you know what? Let them have it.
Yeah.
Luton have it.
I mean, they're not going to be in the championship.
All right. No, not Cardiff.
No, Cardiff are going up. That's fine.
No, I just don't want them. I don't know.
Lincoln. Scoobs.
Yeah, Scoobs. Why not? Let him have it. Get Scoobs back to the Premier League.
Yeah. Obviously, you mentioned Goodmanson getting injured. He's out for at least a couple of games, by the sounds of it. Hamstring injury. He also said that Okafor and Beal were struggling a bit, but he said it in that way that normally means that they're fit. I have one request and one request only for Daniel Farke. Play a back four. Justin, as the left wing back, he can do it and defensively he's fine, but we lose so much going forward. If he's going to have to play on the left, play him as a left back in a four, get an extra body up the pitch, play 4-2-3-1, and then whoever's playing on the left wing can actually play on the left wing and you don't lose the width. It's Burnley away from home. I know they're already down, so even Scott Parker might be a little bit less defence first, but they're still going to be defence first. There is no need for Leeds to play a back five in this game.
I think he reverts back.
Oh, I think he will. But there is no reason to.
Yeah, I suppose the flip side of that is if when you're playing a team like Burnley, does Justin being there, does it matter as much against a team like Burnley?
I just think about the other games where we didn't have him in this formation. God, we missed him so, like Sunderland. Every time the ball went down the left-hand side, it just meant that it stopped and went all the way back round. Whereas if there's an actual, like if Leeds have a 10, like if it's a 4-2-3-1 or a 4-3-3 and one at midfielders pushes up, they can get across to help out and you've got men over there to actually play the ball forward.
I mean, strictly speaking, in terms of, look, I know there's been a lot of recruitment and we haven't really played 4-2-3-1 much this season. If you're going to do it, do the formation you played in the Championship against Burnley. But this time, this is a Burnley team that will have much less confidence.
Yeah, I think it'd be sort of a... You could call it 4-3-3 or 4-2-3-1. Depends how they line up. I think that if he does it, I would hook up in ideal world that it'd be Ampadu, Tanaka, Stack. And then depending on how they set up, it can be that Tanaka and Stack are like 2-8s that are both getting forward. Or you can just have Stack really pushing on. But whichever, that sort of depends how their midfield lines up.
I don't know if Stack starts this one.
No, that's ideal world. If not, then just Aronson.
Yeah, I mean, I would quite like to see us just do the 4-2-3-1 and just go, no, Dan James worked a lot last season. This is, you know, I like having an out-and-out winger on one side and an inside, you know, an inverted winger on the other. Maybe play Dan James.
Yeah. I would be fine with that. I would also be fine with being Nonto. If Aronson's playing 10.
Yeah. Because I think that's the thing as well. Against a team like this, like, Aronson is out of possession is going to be effective, I think, wherever you put him. And there is probably less pressure on him to deliver when it's part of a front four than in a front three.
Yeah.
So I'd like to see it. I don't think we will, but
no. And it would probably mean that I would, like, if we're going to play before, as I've said before, if you're only picking two centre backs, I think Rodon and Strauch works better as a pair. And with Beal having a bit of a knock as well, I don't think that's the worst thing. You know, you can come off the bench if you want to switch back. That's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't... You could play Metcha wide, but I don't like that from the start. If you're going to start them both, just play two up top. But I don't see a world where we do that.
Yeah. Let's just have a look at there. Recent outings.
Well, I scrolled this to a random point earlier, and it was just so that it covered the last... Basically, it's the last game upwards on Who Scored. So them losing 1-0 to Man City. So from the 1st of November to now, Burnley have won two games. 5-1 win over Millwall in the FA Cup and a 3-2 win at Palace when Palace were on that really bad run.
Yeah.
They have drawn 7. They have lost 18. It is like they have been awful.
Yeah.
Like they beat us and then they beat Wolves in back-to-back games. And those were the two before that game. So, like, they got a league win on the 26th of October. They got a league win on the 11th of February. That's it.
What you're telling me is they're about due one.
Yeah, I know that the leads in there makes you think that. But this is, and I mean, I've already had my bet on Burnley or draw. And I bet before the game golf, I might end up with another 5 on it because the odds will move towards Leeds because all the neutrals will back us. There is zero outside of it's Leeds. There is zero just like empirical reason why Leeds shouldn't win this game.
I mean, yeah, like I'm just looking at the team that they put out against Man City. And again, I think you would probably go so far as to say that man-to-man, look, I just think our team is better. You know,
to,
if you go off...
out a couple that are some good, that Zian Fleming has got 10 league goals. And considering how many minutes he's played, that's really good going. That's a lot more than I would have expected from him. He has done well and he's had a good season. I like Leslie Okechukwu in the middle. I think he's a good player. And if you have James Ward-Prowse, that is always a threat from set pieces.
Yeah, well, sort of. It was.
Yeah, he's still taking good set pieces. I just don't think that there's much else anymore. I mean, Kyle Walker's not done anything, but he did play quite well against us at their place.
Was that at the point where they were playing him as sort of the right-sided centre-back?
No, I think he just played full-back against us because he puts the cross in for their opening goal, which was Okechukwu, wasn't it, I think? And then that second one was the absolute screamer from the guy whose name I can't remember. Is it Chowner? I always mix him up with Chachua at Wolves. Chowner, I think his name is. And he scored a belter that we just backed off from. Estevez is a decent centre-back and Martin Dubravka is a pretty solid goalkeeper. But there's nothing in that team to fear.
Yeah. It's Jaden Anthony. But
I like Jaden Anthony. I hope he has a shite game and does nothing. But I like Jaden Anthony.
Yeah, I mean, fair play to him. He has had as good a season as you probably can have playing for Burnley.
He started really well, didn't he? Like first couple of months of the season, he got like 4 goals and a few assists quite early on.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those that, like I say, as I look at their team, we should beat these. Even when you kind of look through some of the subs, so they've got someone like Broha there, but Broha's not been the same for
When was the last time he really did out? Hannibal is a prick, as we all know, complete and utter prick. He does have a bit of talent about him, but he's been struggling with injury as well. So he's probably not going to play. I just look at that and that's why I just can't see the argument. If they're 4-2-3-1 and it's like Fleming, Jaden Anthony and one of Edwards or Hannibal.
Yeah.
I just see that and I can't see how you need 3 centre-backs to deal with it. And you'll prevent... And I think that if we only have 2 centre-mids against their 3, that it gives them a chance to establish a foothold in the game. I mean, it might be that Scott Parker just boots it past the midfield anyway, so it doesn't matter. But I just don't think it's... I genuinely think he is going to pick a back 4. And I'm aware that that's... I've taught myself into it that I actually think even Daniel Farker won't be this. Because I think he'll realise that doing it against Sunderland was such a bad idea. Picking like 6 defenders or whatever he picked.
And I think the other side of it is, of your last 4 remaining games, this is obviously your best chance to get 3 points. Yeah,
this is definitely the easiest one on paper.
You are at home. So you are expected to take the game to them. So give yourself the opportunity to, because if you win this, again, regardless, you're then 3 games left and Spurs, if they win, are 6 points behind you.
If you win this, you run 43 points. It is like, it is not impossible to get relegated on 43 points, but it's real fucking close.
But it's so highly unlikely. And you're saying this.
Seven, there's an outside chance, but nine?
I'd like to see that. But yeah, and the other thing is, get the 3 points here. Great, you know what you can do? You can shut up shop when you go play Spurs.
Yeah.
Like you can be a solid team that sits a bit deeper and looks to maybe counterattack against them at their place, because it's fine. You've got the points on them then.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have to beat them, but they would have to beat us.
Yeah.
And that's if they beat Aston Villa.
Yeah, which is a tough game. Although I think that they will get something, because with Villa having such a lead in terms of the Champions League places and them having the Europa League semi-final this week and next week, I do think they'll rotate fairly heavily.
Mm.
So I do think Spurs will probably get something. I've seen a lot of people call this must win. It's definitely should win, but it's not must win. I would go as far as saying it's must not lose, because you just don't want to give other people the confidence. But like, if we draw two games between now and the end of the season, we should, and I'm saying should, not will, we should be fine. But if you just win, it just settles everyone down.
I'm saying it's a must win. because I think if you end up with Spurs and West Ham being 3 and 2 points behind you all of a sudden, or whatever West Ham are. They won, didn't they?
Yep. They got a 92nd minute winner to beat Everton 2-1.
Yeah.
So if you we're on 40, Forest 39, West Ham 36, Spurs 34.
So if all of a sudden, if you lose this and they both win, it's tense.
Oh yeah, that's why I said it is must not lose. You can't lose it. Mm. Elsewhere, it is just to check when these are. We are really looking to like they're not then. Who's playing when? Spurs are away at Villa on Sunday at 7 PM.
It's a very odd time to play.
Yeah, it is a really odd time to have that game. And when do West Ham play? Ah, there we are. They're away at Brentford Saturday 3 o'clock. Brentford have got plenty to play for.
Brentford, who, if nothing else, very good at getting a draw.
Yeah, I mean, they're 2 points behind Brighton in sixth. So they're very much chasing the Europa League. They obviously got beat 2-1 at Old Trafford the other day. But like, if Igor Thiago wouldn't have been having one of the weirdest games I've ever seen him have, they might well have won that game. Like, they played pretty well.
Sorry, I'm really... I know you mentioned, obviously, Villa playing at 7 o'clock. Mm. There's... Bournemouth Palace is at 2... And then Scum Liverpool is at 3:30.
Yeah.
What a weird weekend. Yeah, so I mean, because the Villa play this week, don't they? They play Forest on Thursday, I'm assuming.
I will just check, but yeah, I'm fairly sure that those are Thursday.
So yes, I can see there being...
Yeah, Forest Villa Thursday.
So I can see the bit of rotation in their team, but
and then Forest are away at Chelsea Monday at 3 o'clock. I keep forgetting it's a bank holiday on Monday.
Who knows with that one?
Yeah,
that could be anything. Because I mean, us West Ham and Forest. I think we've lost one in our last combined like 15 games or something daft.
Yeah. Well, like, I mean, if you want to. Because we've only ever been looking at the gap to the bottom, it doesn't feel like it. But because we've not been losing, if we win on Friday night, probably temporarily, but we go above Newcastle.
Yeah. You play Brighton.
Yeah, like we
could We could.
I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit about overtaking Newcastle, but we could. It's very possible. Like, the bookies have added Newcastle to the relegation odds. Admittedly, at like 100-1, but
that can come down to 80 if we finish the weekend above them. But yeah. All of this is why I think this is must win, because again, and I know mathematically this doesn't really mean a lot if you can finish the weekend ahead of Newcastle, but it's another team between us and 18th.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing is trying to rationalize now is how. I think this is essentially the, you know, it's a real six-pointer, not necessarily between us and Burnley, but the swing that could take place, either way, depending on how results go. Because, I mean, if we win, and obviously we're the first team to play with it being the Friday night, again, you can come out of that ideal situation going, brilliant. It doesn't really matter what anyone else does at this point if we win.
Yeah. Having just had a look around to shop, if people are doing it, best price you can get on Burnley or draw is 19-10. The best with big bookies is 15-8. That says a lot about the confidence in it, and that'll probably even get bigger. Just win. Just play, just be normal and just win.
Just, yeah.
2-0. Just really comfortable. Because, like, if we win this game, then it's done. It's possible for it not to be, but it's hard to see a world where it requires multiple teams at the bottom end of a league being really good all the way through. And that's so unlikely to happen.
I'm going to be so disappointed if Spurs don't go down. Like, obviously, I'd be devastated if it's us.
I would love it if Spurs go down, but so long as Leeds don't, I don't really care.
I do. It'd be really funny.
It would be funny. And I'll worry about funny once we're, like, properly safe.
I can't wait for the post-relegation story of them phoning around Spain and Italy going, so this Super League thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Are we getting this off the ground or what? And Roma and Barcelona are like, fuck yeah, we're in. Let's do this.
I will have to get Benny's off him later because I haven't heard back from him. But the confidence is unsurprisingly quite high from the people who aren't me, because I never am. Little Danny's got a 2-0 win. Both Alex and Connie have a 3-1 win. What have you got, Casey?
I'm going to go 2-0 win.
I no longer have to just be negative because... I went for a loss against Chelsea and it happened. I do think we'll win. I'm going to say they'll make it nervy though because it's Leeds. I'm going to say we win 2-1. I think if I was going for a way around, Leeds would go 2-0 up, switch off, concede with 10 minutes left, and then we'll be terrified for the 20 minutes that will be left because there'll be 10 minutes added on.
Fair.
Yeah. But yeah, if we can just win, then we can all probably relax and focus on, you know, winning at Spurs and then deliberately losing at the London Stadium on the final day.
And get knocked out in the quarterfinals of a politically charged World Cup.
Yeah. You know, that'll be interesting watching football that late for some of them.
Yeah.
Pubs are going to make a killing, which is good. Pubs should make good money.
Yeah. Support your local pub.
So is what else we need to go through, KC? I don't believe so.
No, I think we're good.
No. I reserve the right, if he picks a really negative team, to be a bit moany on Twitter before kickoff. I've been Jack, see you.
I've been KC, have a good one.
In a bit.